We're opening our Bibles to the Psalm 2, the second Psalm. I was thinking about this weekend, planning towards it, praying about it, and I know that others who came and took part, they were doing likewise, and the Lord led them, directed their way, and we have been blessed through the ministry of the Word. Thank you, Dr. Douglas, for the Word last night. Very tempted to say, just come and preach it this morning again, but maybe we'll have you back to preach that message on the few. And it was a blessing to the Missionary Council members and friends that gathered last evening as we heard the Word of God. I was thinking about this meeting, and there was this text going through my mind over and over again. Ask of me. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And I just couldn't get away from it. And it's here in the Psalm 2, as you know. What a day it's going to be when all things are brought into subjection to Christ. We're looking forward to that day. He is keen. He's keen in his church. He reigns in our hearts. And one day he will be keen over all the earth. And the nations of the world, the kingdoms of this earth, will become our Lord's. They'll become Christ's. And he will bring all things into subjection. And there is coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the psalm that we're going to read is all about Christ. It's a messianic psalm, and it's speaking about that day when everything will be brought under his rule. But this text, as I was thinking about it and just lying in bed and it was going over and over in my mind, really challenged me with regard to prayer. And we're going to keep it in the context, of course, that it is Christ who is praying here. But we will see you and I as the Lord's people, we're coming alongside to pray in similar terms. And I want to lift this text and bring it as a gospel missionary challenge to us all, and simply put the title on it, How the Heathen Are to be Reached with the Gospel. So let's read the psalm together, Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers to take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dice them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. We'll bow together in a moment's prayer and seek the Lord. Father, we thank thee for the weekend that we've enjoyed together, for the ministry of thy word, for the reports that have been given, for the challenge that we have felt afresh in our heart for the Great Commission. We thank thee for all who have participated, from our brother Dr. Douglas, and we thank thee for his ministry in the Free Church, the many years that he was the principal and the clerk of our presbytery, and for just those places where he has been, to be an encouragement to the broader church here in Northern Ireland and further afield. Thank thee for our brother Miller and for sending him forth with his wife to the land of Uganda, and for all that the Lord has enabled him to do thus far. And we pray that thou will continue to be with him in his deputation work, and as he plans in the will of God to go back to Uganda in the near future, bless his ministry there. Thank thee for Joshua as well, and for these study years in the college, as he studies to show himself approved unto God. We pray that you'll bless him together with the other students there as they prepare for the future. Lord, come down into this service now in the word. Apply it to our hearts. Open our minds to your truth. Speak to every individual that is here in the Savior's name. Amen. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. When you read about the heathen in the Old Testament scriptures, it is a reference to the nations of the world, the Gentile nations, those by and large that are without light, without truth, without the knowledge of God, the unreached multitudes that are out there in the world. And the question is asked in the opening verse of the psalm, why do the heathen or the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing? And this psalm, as we have indicated, is all about Christ. It is a messianic psalm, and the nations are raging against him. And they certainly raged against him when he came into this world at the incarnation. The kings setting themselves against him, as verse 2 indicates, and the rulers taking counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. The fact of the matter is that unrenewed, fallen, sinful human nature is against Christ. And this is so well summarized in the prayer of the apostles after they were arrested, persecuted, threatened, and then released in the history of Acts chapter 4. And this is how their prayer went. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. And so we see the heathen raging against Christ, roaring like the sea, tossed to and fro with restless waves as an ocean in a storm. There was that deep-seated hatred from the highest to the lowest of society against Christ. Foolishly and deliberately, they conspired and campaigned against him. And what was their desire? Well, the third verse speaks of what their desire was. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. To shake off everything to do with Christ and to do with Christ's kingdom. So what does the Lord think about all this? How does the Lord react? Well, the next part of the psalm tells us, verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. This is all going on the earth, and the nations against the Savior and against the gospel and against the people of the Lord, and they're seeking to shake off everything that is to do with Christianity. And God sees it all, everything that happens on the earth, but it doesn't disturb him in any way. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And so despite the raging, despite the opposition, despite the evil counsel, we're able to say in verse 6, the Lord is able to say, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Despite their malice and their hatred and their evil counsel, the will of the Lord will be done. and Jesus shall reign over all the earth, and the only begotten Son of the Father will seem to be then, or will then be seen rather, to be the Saviour and the Lord of all. What a day that is going to be. But we have this marvellous text that we're taking for our thoughts today in the 8th verse of the Psalm, this great declaration. And I want you to see it in gospel terms, in missionary endeavour. I believe it can be applied in that way. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. We are indeed being given an insight into deep and holy things, part of a conversation, in fact, an agreement and covenant between the Father and the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the counsel and the covenant of grace and peace, he asked many things of his Father, and every one of them was granted. Every one of them will be granted. Those that have not been granted will be granted. Never was there a prayer that Jesus Christ offered that was turned away. Everything that he asked for, he received. And here he's asking for the nations of the earth. And we want to see it certainly out of the nations of the earth, for the souls of men to be gathered out of those nations unto himself. This was his heart's desire, and it was not denied. The request of his lips was not withheld. Now, the words of our text are a great missionary promise, and first and foremost, they are surrounding the greatest missionary that ever walked in this earth, that ever preached the gospel to the teeming multitudes, and I refer to Christ himself. These are his words. He's asking the Father for this inheritance. But you can't fail to see a very poignant application to the church in every century. Our great commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to go out into the nations of the earth with the message of Christ. We are to be involved in the greatest work that any man or any woman can ever engage in. Gospel work, missionary work, evangelistic work, reaching the nations for Christ. And that begins at home. It begins at home. Jerusalem, we might say, as we take the pattern of the New Testament, these men that were called of God in those early days of the New Testament church, they were to begin right there in the city of Jerusalem. And then that ministry was to broaden out until eventually it reached the uttermost parts of the earth. We are to be much in prayer about this work. In fact, it is the way that God has ordained it to be so. We are to ask of him. We are to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. If you've been present with us over the weekend, some of you have been, you will know that the Lord directed our way very particularly right over the course of the weekend and what was said by those who participated to Matthew chapter 9 in those last verses, where we have the Savior moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. And in light of the fact that he was moved, then giving the instruction that the laborers were few, that his church might pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. We are to ask of the Lord. We are certainly to pray for the Lord's servants who have gone to preach the gospel, those that the Lord has already raised up and sent forth. And we've had some of them visit with us through the weekend. And we are also to keep in mind what their request is, much like what Paul said when he wrote various epistles to the churches, pray for us, pray for me. So they want us to remember them before the Lord. We have a solemn responsibility placed upon us, therefore. When we think of the Great Commission to come before the Lord and to seek him earnestly on behalf of this work. The hymn writer said, see all the world wide open doors inviting. Soldiers of Christ, arise and enter in. Christians, awake. Your forces all uniting, send forth the gospel, break the chains of sin. And Christ wants us as his body to be deeply interested in this work and thoroughly involved in this ministry. It is to come alongside our blessed Savior himself and work with him as co-laborers together in the harvest fields of this world. So in the light of our text, we're asking the question how the heathen are to be reached, or how are the heathen to be reached with the gospel. And I believe with all of my heart, emphasis is given here concerning the subject of prayer. I want you to notice, first of all, that there is a sovereign promise given in this text. The Lord says, I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. This promise is stamped with divine, omnipotent authority. God says it, and God will do it. The Lord has a people from the nations of the world, from every tribe of the earth, whom he will gather unto himself as his inheritance and his possession. John speaks about the great multitude. If we could just peel back what is obscuring our vision and go right into the very throne room of God and see there in heaven the great multitude that's gathered around that throne, we will see there what John saw, a multitude which no man can number. Where did they come from? Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. And they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb. There is a great number to be gathered in. And there is a great number to be gathered in from this nation, from the British Isles. Mr. Douglas referred to it last evening about the very low percentage of church attendance throughout the United Kingdom. And it was something like 2%. It's very low. You were to just have an understanding of how few people in this so-called Christian country goes to any place of worship on the Lord's Day. It is as low as 2% compared to what it was 70 years ago. 47% of those in England, Scotland and Wales went to a place of worship. So we see where things were going. I was reading an article last night from the Answers in Genesis group, and Ken Ham had made a visit to the United Kingdom, and he was amazed. He was shocked at the low percentage of church attendance. And then there was this figure that has come out, and he mentions it there in the article, that 25% of the Church of England churches have no children whatsoever in attendance. You want to think about that. One out of every four churches hasn't one single child. There's now a generation that's rising up that are indeed the heathen and the godless of society. So there are those to be gathered, and we need preachers. We need evangelists. We need church workers to go out into our own nation. And the Lord has sent forth his ministers and Christian workers into all parts of the United Kingdom, all through the centuries, gathering unto himself his people. And we think of special times when we knew the visitation of God, a period of reformation that came to England and Scotland and Wales and this part too. We think of those periods of revival when the Spirit of God was poured forth, days of evangelical awakening, when God moved in the nation and men were sent forth and the gospel was preached and men were gathered unto Christ. Thousands swept into his kingdom. And we thank God for that. And those of us that are actively involved in Christian ministry, and we have ministers among us today, we've had the privilege of preaching the gospel in our church service. We've had the privileges of going out there, conducting gospel missions and preaching on to those that have gathered at those meetings. And we've had the wonderful joy of pointing men to Christ. We think just recently of the little mission that we had outside the town in Ballinamore. And the Lord came down and was pleased to bless his word. And souls were gathered in that mission. We have sent out missionaries to Spain, to Africa, to Brazil, to India, to Nepal, to Mexico, and to the Philippines. Our radio ministry, Let the Bible Speak, is broadcasting the gospel throughout the world. And you know, we're just a tiny part of that work. Just a little tiny part of what God is doing in this earth. But we're seeking by his grace to obey the commission. And by our tithes and offerings, we are supporting the gospel as it goes forth. There is a people to be gathered, men and women. People to be gathered from Kenya. And we know that Margaret Russell has been there for many years, and maybe in a few short years' time, she will be retiring as a missionary from the work. Don't know what God is going to do in these last years of her ministry there, but we pray that in his mercy, they will be great years of Christian service. Our sister Cassie, as you know, is retiring next year, and she'll be going home to the United States. But we pray that these final months of her ministry too will be owned of God, that the Lord would gather unto himself a people. And we're thinking about Uganda this weekend. And Noreen's there now, and Andrew Foster has arrived. And Stephen and his wife will be going back in the near future. Only God knows what he's going to do through Emmanuel Mission Station and the spread of the gospel from that place into other parts of Uganda and into other parts of Africa. But the Lord has a people to gather, and a people there in Spain, and a people in Brazil, and a people in Nepal. And Nepal might be viewed as the uttermost part of the earth. I think it was in an interview I had with Mr. Douglas a number of years ago, just up in here. Maybe you remember that. And there was the green background. We call it Chroma Key. And so we're able to film Mr. Douglas, and then later on set in a background, which we did. So that lets you into the secret of how that was done. But I can remember him saying something about Nepal on that occasion, that it could be viewed as the uttermost parts of the earth. We might think of Australia because it's the furthest away, but when you think of Nepal and the great mountain ranges there, 8 out of the 14 highest mountains of the world are located in Nepal, including the highest one, Everest. And the highest mountains are judged as mountains that are 8,000 meters and above, and there's 14 of them, and 8 of them are there. And we think of the works that are way up in the mountains and the missionaries that are going up there to preach Christ to the various tribes of that land. And God is gathering in a people from Nepal. Now, other missionary organizations have been faithful in the cause of Christ too, and we know that. And they've sent out missionaries to the nations of the world. It is the way that God has ordained to gather his people unto himself, to save precious souls. The great Apostle Paul asked a series of questions. In Romans chapter 10, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How can they come to faith in Christ if they haven't heard about Christ at all? And following on from that, he put the question, how shall they hear without a preacher? It's God's ordained way that preachers are raised up, that they are sent forth with the message of the gospel so that people can hear, and in hearing, believe, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear, or how shall they preach, rather, except they be sent? And this is part of what we do as a church organization. We send forth those preachers that God raises up and ordains and sends forth into the harvest fields of the world. I want you to get a hold of the promise. I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And so through the centuries, God Almighty has been fulfilling this promise to Christ. And he has been gathering in precious souls from the nations of the world. And he's still gathering in today. How it thrills our hearts when we hear of men and women being converted, and in some parts of the world being converted by their hundreds, even thousands. We think of what God is doing in China. We think of what the Lord has been doing in Nepal that we've mentioned. And even in places like North Korea and Afghanistan, people are being gathered under the Savior, And nothing's going to stop that being fulfilled. Because this is the way that God has ordained it. Jesus says, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, that we would get a hold of this sovereign promise today. But then I want you to see that there is a sincere prayer in this text. And it's there encapsulated in the little phrase, ask of me. Ask of me. This matter is to be made a matter of sincere, serious prayer. I see my Savior, our great heavenly high priest, and he's praying. He's praying at the right hand of the Father. He's ever living to make intercession for us. And here on earth, the believing church blends with his plea. Ask of me, says the Father. How are we to see souls saved, brought to a saving knowledge of Christ? By prayer. It's so important. The two chief means which God has given for the reaching of the multitudes are indeed preaching and prayer. It is wonderfully illustrated in Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones. We read that this morning in the early time of prayer. And there were these bones. It is a picture of what God can do. And we did say that we were not left to conjecture there what that vision means. The Lord tells it is the whole house of Israel. One day they shall stand up like a mighty army. But we have the picture nonetheless of the means that God has given, the means of grace to reach souls that are dead in trespasses and in sins, so dead they could well be described as those bones in the valley, so dry, so utterly, utterly unreachable, you might say, with the gospel. And we think of some. We think of some that are so hard. Could they ever be saved? Could those bones ever live? Well, the Lord knows whether they can or not. But here's our responsibility. We are to preach and we are to pray. And it's seen in that village, in that vision, where the prophet is instructed to prophesy to the bones. And then he's instructed to prophesy to the wind, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God coming, a picture of praying that the wind of God might blow upon these bones, these slain. And that's how we go about it. Don't we see it on the day of Pentecost? You remember what happened on that day? Do you remember the lead-up to what happened when they went out into Jerusalem to preach the word? It was all to do with prayer, wasn't it? For 10 days, the disciples gathered together to seek the Lord and to pray earnestly unto him. And then the day of Pentecost arrived, and out went those men filled with the Holy Spirit of God. To do what? To preach Christ to the nations that were gathered that day. And many, many souls were brought to the Savior. I want to say that the prayer time was vital. That 10-day period was so important. It was the ask of me bit that I'm referring to now. And we thank God for the stirring in our hearts recently. We do believe in prayer. And the Lord has just come and he's visited with us in this prayer meeting and that prayer meeting. And we go back to the mission that we had. And before the mission, there were those seasons of prayer. And God's people gathered in good numbers to seek the Lord, one after the other praying. And God came down and he blessed the word. And through the prayers of the people of God and the preaching of the word, these means that God has given, souls were gathered unto Christ. C.H. Spurgeon said, never account prayer second to preaching. No doubt prayer in the Christian church is as precious as the utterance of the gospel. To speak to God for men is a part of the Christian priesthood that should never be despised. Oh, we must ask of God. And do not say that there's nothing to pray for. Here God is telling us something that is absolutely vital to pray for. Ask of me, and I will give thee
the heathen for thine inheritance. Have you unconverted children? You ought to be before the Lord asking the Lord for those children. Have you family members that are still without Christ? Have you friends that are doomed and dying? Have you neighbors on the broad road that leads to destruction? Are there people in our town and in your village, wherever you're from, and they're out of Christ without a Savior, and they've no hope today? Well, then, what about the teeming multitudes in the nations of the world, especially where our missionaries have ventured forth with the gospel? We've got to lift up our eyes and look here at the family, and here in the wider context of our own town or city, wherever we're from, and then have the greater vision to the uttermost parts of the earth. And what are we to do? We're to pray. We're to ask of the Lord. He has ordained it to be so. Sincere prayer. And then I just close with one final thought in the light of what we've said, that there is a suitable presentation. If the Lord has given such a promise, and He has, and if we are to pray, and we are, well, then there's something else to note. There is a challenge in the light of God's word to offer our lives to God for His service. I want to read two texts in closing. The first one is Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And I'm sure you know it, it's a memory text, but we just want to read it that it might be emphasized in your mind and heart before we leave the house of God today. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Here's the motivation. Here's the very thing that is to quicken us with regard to what Paul is beseeching the Christian church about. God's mercies. Oh, the mercies of God towards us as fallen sinners. What are we to do? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God wants you to give yourself to Him afresh as a living sacrifice. And the other text is in Isaiah 6 and verse 8. We're thinking here of the call of the prophet and how in verse 8 the question is asked, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah gives this ready response in his heart. And he says to the Lord, here am I, send me. I want you to think about that in the light of reaching the heathen, reaching the nations, reaching souls with the gospel. I want you to see that God has given a promise. I want you to see that God has told us to ask of Him. But we've got to come to the place of prayer. And so, in the light of that, God wants you to present your life. And He wants you to say with an open and an honest heart, here am I. Here am I. Send me. Who will give himself to the Lord today? Who will say, Lord, send me. Use me, Lord. Take my life. We might be just what our brother Douglas spoke about last night or mentioned last night in the course of his message. Those in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, weak things, foolish things, despised things, things that are not. You know, God can take us up and use us. And he's often pleased to put His hand upon such weak creatures. Why does He do it? So that no flesh will glory in His sight. All the honor has to be for Him. Men and women, young people today, we're appealing to you in the light of what the Father says to the Son in this text, in the light of the fact that we should be coming alongside the Savior in prayer and asking the Lord too to give us the nations of the earth for an inheritance for Christ. I'm asking you, what will you do? Will you give yourself to gospel work? Will you present your life today? Will you say, here am I, send me? Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for Your word. We thank Thee for the exceeding precious promises that You've given in the Scriptures. We thank Thee, Lord, in that great counsel and covenant of God this did take place, and the Father did say to the Son, ask of me. And Lord, we praise thee that we can come alongside our dear Savior and join him in the ministry of intercession and pray earnestly for the nations of the world, that from those nations souls will be gathered. To those nations men will be sent. Thank thee for what you're doing in our own denomination, small though our work might be, and your hand already upon missionaries that have gone out over the years to serve the Lord here and there in various parts of the world, even to the uttermost parts. But Lord, the laborers are few. And so we do what the Lord has asked us to do. We pray again, just as we close the service, that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into the harvest. And that among this congregation there will be those who will offer themselves, their bodies as living sacrifices, their lives, to be sold out for Christ, to say like Isaiah, here am I, use me. In whatever capacity that is, Lord, to use us in your work, here at home, further afield, maybe a missionary, maybe a minister, maybe a Sunday school teacher, a youth worker, a door-to-door visitor, whatever it might be. Lord, use us for your own glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.